It's good to see everybody today. Boy, let me tell you, it is bright from up here. You didn't warn me about that, Wes. It's beautiful. It's not bright from the paint. There's just the sun reflecting from the cars out there, going through the windows that Chris cleaned this morning. It's really bright. It's good to see your bright faces. Let me say this. We appreciate so much. Guy was talking about this last night, and several others, just overwhelmed by the number that were able to come out yesterday. And when you consider how many couldn't, that we had 2 days of probably the strongest sustained winds we've had here in about 10 years. And we had people that had to go take care of some things that the wind had damaged. We also had some that were not feeling good. We had some that were on vacation and didn't know we were having a work day. And we had some that would have liked to have been here but just couldn't. And yet we just had a full building. And between Mike and Guy, they had planned for all the for having a full building, and so everybody had something to do, and everybody did something, from the very youngest to the one that was the eldest one here, that just really worked hard, and we appreciate that. Appreciate those of you who contribute to make it possible for us to be able to afford all these supplies. And when you spend 7 hours at Lowe's, you spend a little money, and so that was certainly done. And but it looks beautiful, and it's been a long time since we've had a work day. I think it's been over 20 years, and I doubt if we've had a work day like this since the building was built. And so just really appreciate everybody's help on that. Whether you were able to come and take part in it or not, we just appreciate each one of you, and especially appreciate those who were able to do so much yesterday. Just a word of a caution for those of you with real small ones. We have some heavy equipment out there that would be dangerous for the kids to be climbing over, and so if some of you older siblings see that, if you'd get them off so that there's nobody hurt. And also, we don't have doors on the baptistry, and we do want to make sure that our baptistry remains for the purposes of salvation and not for disaster. And so just kind of keep an eye on that as well, that we don't have any mishaps on that, but appreciate again everybody who's already worked and those who will continue to do so. In conjunction with that, Psalms chapter 133. This is entitled A Song of Ascents. It's by King David, and he says this through inspiration: How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. One of the things I really enjoyed and appreciated not only about yesterday, but about this congregation in general, is how people live together in unity. It's not that we all share the same opinions, because we do not. It's not that we all just always think the same things and never have any differences, because we do. But it's beautiful to live in this type of unity where people on the first day of every week gather together and remember the reason they're here. And then they go out into the community and they let their light shine so that others might also have the opportunity to come to Christ because of their example. And so let me say this. When David, through inspiration, says how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity, we really have been able to live that way, and it's because of each one here. I don't know of a single person here who has not done their best to live together in unity, and it shows. Appreciate that. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." When I was leaving last night, somebody said, you ought to be preaching on encouragement tomorrow, because yesterday was so encouraging, and I agreed with that. As a matter of fact, that was my plan, and I can't think of a better lesson for that. The word consider means to think or to ponder, to be aware, to see. And when it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, that's exactly what it means. It means that we think about it. When we come together, we think about how we can lift one another up. We may not always have things to say that people want to hear, but they can be said in an uplifting way. It's like when our children are growing up. Every time we have to correct them, it's very likely a time that we're going to say something they don't want to hear, but we can do it in the right way. We have responsibility as parents to rebuke, but we also have the responsibility to consider how we may spur our children along in the right way. It's looking at Brad and Kaylee. Kaylee is due to have a baby September 10th. This will be their first. They'll get to go through all that. I told Kaylee if the fumes got to her today when she got up to leave during my lesson, to make sure she did it in a huff so that people would have something enjoyable to talk about later, wondering what I'd said. But keep them in your prayers. September 10th will be a wonderful day or a day around that when that event happens. And we do pray that everything goes just perfect for them. But as we talk about that, we understand with our kids, with our friends, with our family, with those that we come in contact with and are privileged to have an opportunity of influence, that sometimes that influence isn't always going to be what they want to hear. Some of y'all work in jobs where you have to break news to people in such a way that they don't want to hear it. I can remember, as probably the first 10 years that I was a real estate appraiser, the market was going down. I don't know if there was a correlation between my appraising and the market going down, but I can tell you this. When somebody bought a house for $100,000 that I appraised at $60,000, usually they didn't shake my hand and tell me how much they liked me. They might say things, as Barney Fife would say, in a different language, and it wasn't sport, neither. It was hard, but that doesn't mean that you cannot present it in as kind of a possible way as we can. There are people that we know that we fear may be lost. God will make the final conclusion on that, the final judgment on that. But we can read within Scripture what it takes to be saved, and we can read in Scripture what it takes to be lost. And so there will be times that we have to go and talk to people. But we need to do so in such a way that we have considered it so that our words may be tempered in the best way, so that we can present the gospel in the best way with the best hope of them responding to it favorably. Because somebody did that for us. Somebody did that for the first person in our family to become a Christian that started the ball rolling. When we talk about this, let us not give up meeting together. We understand the importance of that, and that's not the purpose of the lesson today. We'll talk about that at another time. But it says, let us encourage one another. One of the things I love about worshiping, and I've always enjoyed that about worshiping, is when you're worshiping with a group of people that like each other and encourage one another, that when they come up the steps, they're smiling. And when they leave, they're smiling. Maybe for different reasons, but they're smiling. When I was coaching little kids, I stumbled across something that has stayed with me. But I can't remember the first time we won a game, first time we lost a game, but I called the kids in. They were just little third and fourth grade girls, 8, 9 years old, and they all just circled around on the floor, and their heads are up, and they're waiting for you to say what you had to say. And I started telling each one of them what I liked about what they had done in the last game. And I was amazed at how when it came to their turn, they were just their faces would just beam. It might not be something really big. As a matter of fact, it never was. We're talking about a game where you throw a ball in the air and hope it goes in a hoop. So it wasn't a big deal, but it was a big deal to encourage. And I've never forgot the look on people's face. And I did that after that without fail, as far as I can remember, after each game, and would try and tell them what they had done that was good and what I'd like to see them try and do the next game. But I remember the response to that, and I think there is something there. When we talk about encouraging one another, we're not talking about making up things. It has to be something truthful. It has to be, when I was encouraging them, it had to be something that they had really done well. If they hadn't scored a point and I told them how good their shooting was, that wouldn't go over. So there's some thought involved in that. But when we talk about encouraging one another, we have to think about how we can lift one another up. In a good way, not to flatter one another with meaningless phrases or with lies, but to truly build one another up, because we have an opportunity to go to heaven. We are going to heaven. We're on our way there. And we need to be encouraging one another to do that. And if we see somebody that might be getting off the path, we need to find the best possible way to let them know. As a matter of fact, when we read Paul's writings, especially when he writes to the young preachers that he's associated with, one of the things that he encourages them to do is to encourage. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 6, he says this to Titus, who's a preacher. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. Now think about that and think about the setting. There is a time when we are young men, all of those of you who are men who have gone through this stage, you understand that. There are so many temptations. There's temptations for the young ladies as well, but he's talking about the young men right now, and he says encourage them to be self-controlled. He doesn't say take a hammer and beat into them the understanding that they need to be self-controlled. He says encourage them to be self-controlled. In other words, we can say, you're really doing good in this, and you're really doing good in that, and I like the way you do this, but there are some things that you need to be really careful on. And if we've done the same thing, just tell them, look, I've made the same mistakes. I've made worse mistakes, but I don't want you to make those mistakes. And so we encourage them to be self-controlled. We don't beat them into submission. And we do that with our brothers and sisters in every way. In verse 7, he says, in everything set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. I don't know how many times through the years I have heard somebody say, well, I always heard that people from the Church of Christ believe this. Or I always heard that people from the Church of Christ believe that. And they're surprised when maybe they don't hear that teaching in that way. We've got to teach, but we've got to do so in a way that people who oppose us will be ashamed and not have anything bad to say about us. I remember one guy who, every time I saw him, he would say something derogative about the Church of Christ. I don't mind people saying things derogative about me because I know me, and there's a lot you can say. But when it comes to the church, there just comes a point. And so I just asked him really frankly. I said, what happened when you were young? Did somebody from the Church of Christ run over your dog? And after that, he was always nice to me because he thought about what he was doing. And I think he was a little bit ashamed about what he had done. I suppose there have been times where I have taught or preached or said something to somebody that I knew in conjunction with being part of Christ's church that I wished I hadn't said. That they could then have some kind of a criticism where they wouldn't be ashamed because they did have something bad to say. And I'm convinced one of the things we need to do is be determined not to let that happen. I'm not suggesting for a moment we shield the truth, but I'm saying that we preach the truth in love. We can do that because we love people. It takes some extra consideration to be encouraging, but we can do that. There's something else in this passage. When he says, in everything, set an example by doing what is good, a lot of people want to teach by example, and to that I say, that's really a good idea. But notice what else he says. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. There are some things you cannot teach by example alone. You also have to have sound doctrine to go with it. You can't teach calculus by example. No matter how much those of us who ever had to suffer through a calculus course would have liked that to happen, it doesn't happen. But what you can do is you can show people who are interested in something like architecture a beautiful building, and that will encourage them to learn the calculus that will allow them to build that. When it comes to Christianity, there are some things that are hard. There are some things that people will have to give up. There are some things that people will have to deny themselves. But we can show them an example. We can show them a beautiful picture of something that will make them want to sit down and open the pages of the Word so they can find out what the doctrine says, what God has to say. And so we do teach by example, yes, but we also teach by teaching the Word of God, and that means it has to be beyond example. But he starts off by saying, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it's even a more universal encouragement, and he says this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and of his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. We could talk about that for a long time, couldn't we? I'm not going to, because I want to encourage you this morning. But this is the part I want to point out. When it says correct, rebuke, and encourage, notice how they go together, and notice also how they're separate things. There are times where we have to rebuke and correct. That's not encouragement. Whipping somebody is not encouragement. It may be rebuking and correcting, but it's not encouragement. Encouragement is that urging to do the right thing for the right reason. It is that you can do this. We can do this together. I can help if you need it. And you can help me because I need that help. There are times where we have to have rebukes and correction, and Paul does not hide that. God, through inspiring Paul, does not hide that. But we also need to have encouragement as we do that. I still remember when I'd give our kids a spanking, and I'd nearly always say, I want you to know I love you, but when you do something bad, you're going to get punished for it. And I've told you all this before. Charisse would say she would be thinking sometimes, yeah. That's the only reason she's still alive, is because she thought, yeah, and didn't say it out loud. Your encouragement will not always be taken as encouragement at the time the correction and the rebuke are going on. And sometimes you have to admit we all need correction and rebuke. But maybe if we do it right, the encouragement will come back and they'll think about that. And she told me about that later. Because later she was encouraged by it. But it may have taken a few years. There will be people in your life who you try to bring the gospel to who are not ready for the gospel. And because you do have some things that may be words of correction, they may not appreciate it. But if you do it in the right way and you have the encouragement with it, they may think about it later on. And that's what we want to do. God gave us a chance. As a matter of fact, God gave us a lot of chances. And if you're like me, you've come back to God on a number of occasions. And it's encouraging to think that he's done that for us. Can we not do it in the same way? One last passage and we'll close. It's found in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, and it says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. You see, the encouragement is not just for the first day of the week. Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You and I can do a lot to help others come to Christ. Encouragement is one of the great tools that God gives us to be able to accomplish that in a beautiful and effective way. I want to say again, yesterday was such an encouragement. I know not everybody could come, and I don't want you to feel discouraged for not having come. I appreciate what those of you everything that y'all do. But truly, yesterday was such an encouragement. It was great to see people getting together, enjoying one another, and then to see the results of all that effort. And we appreciate each one who took part in that. The invitation's open this morning. It may be that you're not a Christian yet. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're sorry for your sins and are determined not to go back to them, if you're ready today to confess your belief that Jesus is Lord, the Son of God, then come forward and we will allow you to do that, and we'll baptize you in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll be on your way to heaven. It's just a start. If you haven't been faithful, if you've done that but you've gone off the track, then if you need the prayers of the congregation, we can help you with that. But if you just need to determine where you're sitting, I'm going to do better, do that. If you have any needs, won't you come as we stand and sing?